past 3 years. I was in a separate building. My uncle were there also. He's 67 years of age, and he's few meters from me, but I could not see him. Unfortunately, those people are facing the same circumstances that I have faced, except they are together. They were not isolated like me, but they kept four of them together. But Abdelhadi Khawaja represent the issue of how human rights defenders are treated in this country. Other than him, you have Naji Fatil, you have many people. If they are not in jail, they are out of the country. They run away from the situation. Because except me, I don't think there are much human rights activists out of jail now.
Are you going to continue to speak out, Nabil?
Yes, I'm going to continue. In fact, in the past few days, the newspaper were talking about me and telling me that soon I'm going to go back to jail because I did not keep quiet as they thought or as they expected. And but again, I tell you this, somebody has to pay the price to achieve democracy and freedom.
And Josh Colangelo, what the U.S. could do to change the situation, the significance of the Navy's Fifth Fleet there?
Well, some people say that because we want to have this naval base, that the U.S. is without leverage. In other words, it has to be committed to the current system as it exists. What we know, though, is that the Bahrainis, in their view, are very much reliant on the U.S. for their own security. So certainly that is a two-way street. And whatever quiet efforts may have been going on, again, they don't seem to be bearing fruit. So it's time to change tack.
Josh Colangelo and Nabil Rajab, I want to thank you for being with us. Josh Colangelo, attorney and consultant for Human Rights Watch, will link to the report, Criminalizing Dissent, Entrenching Impunity. And thank you again, Nabil Rajab, for joining us now back as director of the Gulf Center for Human Rights, just released after nearly 2 years in prison for his role in pro-democracy protests in the island kingdom of Bahrain. He was joining us from Manama, Bahrain. That does it for the broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mark Burke, Renee Feltz, Amy Littlefield. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley, Mike DiFilippo, and Miguel Nogueira. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Our website is democracynow.org.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:02. Coming up next is more talk radio with our hosts Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Today we'll talk about keeping Portland weird.
Tune in to KBOO for the 27th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival. KBOO will again broadcast the entire festival from noon to 10 p.m., July 3rd through the 6th. The broadcast will also be carried by various stations of Oregon Community Media for statewide coverage of this Oregon Food Bank Benefit Festival. Again, July 3rd through the 6th, noon to 10 p.m. each day here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This month, June 12th at 7 p.m., KBOO at the Clinton presents Satyricon, Madness and Glory, Mike Laster's documentary about the world-famous punk club Satyricon that opened in 1983, featuring interviews and footage from the Old Town establishment. Immediately following the film, 20-Foot Man, Portland's own very large musical steel puppet, a mainstay of public art, will perform myth formations emanating from written and unwritten musical concepts, arranged for your listening and viewing pleasure. Again, June 12th, the documentary film Madness and Glory, followed by a live performance from 20-Foot Man at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton. More information about KBOO at the Clinton this month and every second Thursday can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the 27th Annual Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival, July 3 through 6 at Waterfront Park, which benefits Oregon Food Bank and features Greg Allman, Boz Skaggs, Los Lobos, Maceo Parker, Bombino, Charlie Musselwhite, Ivan Neville's Dumb Stuff Funk, and many more. Information, complete schedule, and pass information at waterfrontbluesfest.com.
Good morning.
You're listening to KBOO FM.
90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 along the Columbia River Gorge, and if you're in Philomath, Corvallis, and Point South, it's 104.3. www.kboo on the World Wide Web.
This is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott.
My name is Celeste Carey, and good morning to you.
Today is Monday, June 9th, 2014.
For some reason, I already jumped to the Ides of something.
The Ides of?
Something. It's not even the Ides, but it is something. So, you know, on the way in, true to form, perfectly in sync with what we were going to talk about today, I see this bumper sticker. This bumper sticker had been modified. It used to say "Keep Portland Weird." It had been modified with a school name on there. You know, I don't know if I should mention the school or not.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh, you've seen it. Okay, yeah. So, you know, everybody's jumped on this bandwagon. Keep something, or it used to be "Keep Portland Weird." And I understand that that phrase was both here and in Texas.
Originally, it was from Austin Weird.
Right, Austin, right. Uh-huh. And so Portland adopted it. But Portland, of course, seemed to have taken it, and I'm wondering why I say of course, Portland has taken it to a different level entirely. As a matter of fact, this has become the land of the free and the home of the strange. And to the point now that there are stickers out that say "Keep Portland Weirder." Mm-hmm. Okay. So the question, though, is this. We have celebrated the fact that this is supposed to be a very unique and I put quotation marks all around this, progressive area. And I don't know whether to call it state or just the metro area. But the idea is that forward-thinking, progressive, futuristic, accepting. You can be who you want to be, have it your way, all of those things. But the question still remains for some folks who come seeking that torch of brightness in the darkness of mediocrity and sameness. Is it really weird? Is it really accepting? Or is it in a lockstep to convention? For other people, the question might be, okay, I can deal with something unique and extraordinary, but perhaps there might be a tipping point. So in the idea, or maybe even the quest, to keep Portland weird, to seek out ways of expressing yet newer and stranger and more boundary-bending ways of lifestyle and expression, at what point does keeping Portland weird become too weird?
And that will be what we will focus on this morning. Let me preface by a couple of things that I witness. Now, of course, for those of you in the Portland area, this past weekend was the Grand Rose Parade.
Absolutely.
Prior to that, some people, there was the Starlight Parade.
Starlight Parade, and I don't know if we still do the run. Do we still have the run? I haven't seen the run in ages.
I don't know.
I remember being in it once.
And also the Junior Rose Parade, which
yes,
is always great.
Always great, and with our youngsters.
But those are something that is traditionally a few decades old, unique Portland phenomenon.
But not that different than, say, where I grew up in St. Louis, like the Veiled Prophet Parade.
Exactly.
You know, the kind of things you would expect in a metro area.
But also this past weekend was internationally, so it's not unique to this region, World Naked Bike Ride, which is originally has a purpose to let people aware of the danger of the hazard around using cars,
mm-hmm.
And bringing awareness to the environment. Yesterday, I had a conversation with two individuals who had a unexpected encounter with the participants of the World Naked Bike Ride. Now, one person sees a lifelong Portland resident, but somehow she was driving her car, and where she was driving was an intersection where the protesters were riding, and so she had it sit there
and observe,
and mm-hmm. she was, you know, a real Portlander, but she was just upset,
caught off guard,
and she was, you know, several hours later, she was still
aghast in a sea of weirdness.
The other person I spoke with was a newer resident of Portland. He moved here from Pennsylvania a few months ago, and I think he was walking down the street and he saw the participant and
sea of flesh.
He was aghast as well. Now, these are all people who consider, both of these persons consider themselves devoted members of the community, one chose to live here, one chose to continue living here, but you know, they were caught off guard or aghast at this. But you know, those are just a couple of incidents about events in one section of the town in one day in Portland. We're talking about something much larger than World Naked Bike Ride.
Yes, and for some people, they come here because they like this kind of atmosphere, this freewheeling atmosphere, to borrow the pun from the Naked Bike Ride. And they think, okay, well, I can come here and express all of my choices. And there was recently an article in the one of our newspapers. I'm not giving them no press. I'm sorry. I'm not giving them any press. And it was under the opinion section, and the subtitle was Prejudice. And this was a recent arrival claiming that Portland's not all it appears to be, or not what it says, because coming from New York, he thought that he would be able to get work, but neglected to, I guess, do in-depth research, because coming here with facial tattoos and multiple piercings, couldn't find work and thought that people were not as accepting as they should be. Mm-hmm. Now, the question then goes to where we were earlier, which is, well, where's the tipping point? How weird is too weird? This person did not want to take out their piercings for a job, even if it was something that was in the back, unseen, not doing customer service, because this was a violation of their feelings of self-expression. However, when I saw a picture of this young man, I thought, okay, you have hit my tipping point, mm-hmm. my personal tipping point of too weird. Part of it was the way that the piercings was done. The other thing was the nature of the tattoos, which appeared to be, they look like they could either be prison tattoos or white supremacist tattoos. Mm-hmm. So now that's me looking at it without context. But for many people, as wide as we try to expand our horizons, there still is a tipping point. So I guess the conversation today would be for each of us, how do you address what is that thing that's the unique Portland weirdness? What point do you find where it might be too weird for you? Or are you able to embrace everything and find that your boundaries are very elastic and nothing causes you any particular type of discomfort? What would we call it? Reaction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a simple reaction.
So our numbers here are 503-231-8187, or you may email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com and share your thoughts about this. Specifically, again, the questions are...
Well, how weird is too weird for you here in Portland? Or are you able to embrace accept everything, no matter how far out of your comfort zone it might be? And we're especially looking to hear from folks who don't necessarily call a lot or who have experienced this, either because, like ceaseless acquaintances, they found themselves just lost without a point of reference mm-hmm. in a sea of strangeness, or you're somebody that's hard for people to accept. And the number 503-231-8187. Now, one of the things I wanted to do to kind of help preface this and to frame it is, we, in every culture, they may not call it this exact phrase, but it's residual rules, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I remember learning about this in abnormal psych years ago. And residual rules are a kind of unspoken rules. They're the rules we have as a culture that kind of help bind us and make everyday transactions and conversations possible. So in other words, when I'm talking to you, as a rule, I will face you. If I don't face you, if I talk to you and I always turn the back of my head to you, for example, I'm breaking a residual rule. It used to be a residual rule was your hair was a gender specified or culture specified length. You know, nowadays people wear their hair all different lengths and colors or styles. I remember being in the 80s and being in nursing school and having lived in San Francisco for a while before I came back to the Midwest. You know, I had experienced all the, what I found, really neat looking punk hairdos. You know, spikes that were as tall as 2 feet if the person could get enough jello or starch in it. You know, bright chartreuse colors and what have you, shaved sides, multiple piercings in ears, and not necessarily with the gauges or what have you, but just piercings. And, you know, some of that I kind of liked and kind of embraced, but I was in a very conservative field. And in nursing, it was not just conservative for conservatism's sake, but because I spent time helping people and orienting people, and I needed to be the kind of person that society at that time had agreed upon was safe, mm-hmm. was acceptable. In other words, I couldn't walk in with hair any bizarre color for my own personal satisfaction, and I'm working with somebody who might be having a psychotic episode or might be coming out of recovery from surgery. It would be frightening. So, you know, I adapted. I said, okay. We want to hear your stories. Again, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to Diana. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, hi. Interesting topic. I guess I'm intimidated by the too weird. I feel, okay. What's wrong? Maybe there's something wrong with me that I'm not so wholly, fully accepting, that kind of puts me on edge. I I don't really know that we're really on the route to a better humanity by feeling that there's some great ethic in embracing the two weird. I just have a little problem with it. And obviously it's my problem. And obviously, I guess I'm not too aware because I happen to be driving down one of the main thoroughfares. I can't think of the name of the street even right now. But I came upon these throngs of bicyclers, and I began to notice their various levels of undress and total undress, and then a necktie and total undress. and it was like throngs and throngs of people heading for the park, and there was and I came to a corner, and I don't know how many police motorcycles were sitting there, and the police were standing there, but many of them. And I could see that the park itself must have been filled with people. I could hear a band coming out. I don't know where all those people would even fit into the park, but I just thought, oh, please. Why did I come down there? I mean, if I had known, I really don't want to be exposed to your body at that level.
That's a double entendre that resonates. Well, and here's the thing. There is nothing wrong with either embracing or not quite being able to embrace. We have to work on our personal comfort zones and look at why we're reacting and why we're responding. For some of us, some of the rules that are broken are simply customs and taboos that maybe don't have a protective ideology behind them. Others do have a protective force behind them. And so sometimes when I find myself responding, my first question is, okay, this is obviously too weird for me. Why am I responding this way? Is it necessary to kick in fight or flight? So I kind of feel you on that. In your response, did you find that it was kind of something similar, or did you find that you had hit that tipping point for other reasons?
I really don't know. I feel like they're so egocentric.
Okay.
And, I've traveled a lot. I've traveled into Rawak way up into the Ulu in the 70s. And, I've been to villages which were former headhunting villages. And, the people there are wearing loincloths. And there's a great deal of tattooing.
Right.
Which is a part of their culture. And it's, it's all amazing. But when you come back here and you see people decorating themselves as if this makes them an individual or special, I just think, get real.
So in other words, for you, there's no context to it.
It's kind of a short, I don't know, are you deluding yourself?
Okay.
This decoration makes you unique. I mean, maybe we just need a lot more art and music and programs so people can find their humanity in another way. I don't know. To me, it's distorted.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call.
But maybe I'm just inadequate to the cause.
Thank you, Diana. And for me, what she raises is a couple of points. One is in terms of any society, I think you mentioned this earlier or maybe in an earlier conversation about a society needs certain boundaries. What are certain agreed upon norms that allow us to function as a society? That's constantly changing. She mentioned, traveling in the 70s. And one thing I always like to remind those who are aging boomers who look at millennials, that did you forget that you once wanted to express yourself in a certain unique way, and that, you know, it's generational and it happens over and over again. So who cared? Well, I certainly don't care if men wear their pants down to their knees. It's, you know, we'll all grow up and change, and their children will do something that pushes their buttons as well.
You know, whatever happened to, what was that phrase, let it all hang out?
Well,
I'm not saying we have to necessarily embrace it, but I'm just saying, like you did, every generation has their boundary pushing moment.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Joseph, thank
good
you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what are some of your thoughts?
Well, I have two or three. I'll try to make them as quick as I can.
How about just two?
Okay, that's fine. When I was coming out of a divorce and failed counseling, I heard about these places in California, Hot Springs, where you could just go and gather your thoughts, and they were very respectful. I had never been naked in front of anybody else but my own family or something like that. And I went off to a Hot Springs, and when I first walked over to the springs with my robe on, I thought, how does one do this? And in front of me were three larger ladies, and I thought, well, I'm just going to watch how they do it. And they just calmly slipped their robes off, got into the water, and just chatted away. And what I had observed from that is, after that, after visiting many other hot springs and being there, not to see others naked, but to just to be without the clothing and just feel good about being in the water, it's quite a different experience than being in a bathing suit, which I always hated as a kid. So I learned a lot of things then, and I've observed since then that women have a lot of issues with body consciousness, and I blame our culture for that. But that's just another issue. And the other thing is, when I was working in a hospital about 10 years ago, a very respectful nursing supervisor who had been working for this company for about 40 years at that point, she's now working 50 years, very conservatively dressed, just dressed like a doctor. She was a nursing supervisor. She was standing in front of a counter in an intensive care unit one night. We were just talking about tattoos and piercings, and she surprised all of us, because we had no idea what was going to come out of her mouth next. And that was that she thought the institution we worked for, which is a very large employer in the Portland area, really had the wrong attitude toward piercings and tattoos. She said when she was growing up as a kid, piercing and tattoos were for gang members and prisoners. Nowadays, tattoos and piercings are an expression, as the lady before mentioned, of yourself. It's not to say I'm in a gang, really. That may be a leftover, but she said that the organization is taking the wrong view, and we cannot place ourselves as caregivers above those we give care to. It's as if we're sticking our nose in the air and saying I'm better than you by not allowing the employees to have piercings too. So we sat there for a minute and just talked about it, and it just blew us away. She would never have a tattoo herself or piercing, as far as we knew, but she took a very philosophical view of it. Mm-hmm. So that's just, I think, and I felt kind of sad for the lady before me, because, when I came out of religion, the grip of religion in the 80s, I began to see all kinds of other groups in a different way. I began to see gay people in a different way. They were, you know, real to me, and people with piercings and tattoos. When you get to know them, they're just regular people like us. They're not trying to shock us. They're just trying to express who they are.
Okay, so let me stop for a minute, because some sure. people do get piercings and tattoos because of the shock value. So, yes, I know that for a fact, because I've talked to folks when I was in nursing and where I worked.
And
I will stop and ask people why they get some of the things they get, such as the plates that allow you to screw metal horns into your head. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and they will, some people say, I like the power it gives me.
Well,
it gives me a certain amount of power.
I will give you that, but the vast majority of people.
But wait a minute, I wasn't finished.
Not, yeah.
I wasn't finished.
Yeah.
The other thing is, it's not the ordinary that we're talking about. I mean,
right.
you know, I've got tattoos. I've got wings on my ankles, you know. So, you know, I understand that. But we're talking about people who purposely press those boundaries, that purposely press those boundaries.
I see that.
You know, not the ordinary transactions. When I worked in nursing, my whole reason was to conform to societal expectations for people who are in vulnerable states. So I totally get that nursing director you talked about, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about pushing boundaries.
Right. But what I'm saying is that a lot of people are turned off by just tattoos and piercings on their own. I do agree with you.
Right.
There are some, they do have boundaries, and that's for a reason. That makes total sense. But I'm just talking, I think the vast amount of population that, again, that I know is not in it for shock value.
It's
an expression.
Right.
Like my piercings were to say, don't get involved in relations. That's a reminder whenever I looked at it or felt it was, don't get in a relationship that's not good for you, just for example.
Okay.
And there's heart surgeons that get tattoos of hearts on them because that's their passion.
Right,
But I don't disagree with you about the offensive ones. We do have, you know, have a line. But I think, just to make a general statement, that there's got to be other better ways to express yourselves by not having tattoos and piercings. I just think it's just, I agree with the societal boundaries, but I think some people are just a little too timid and don't get to try to know those people.
All righty. Well, thank you for your call. All righty.
Have a good day.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. One thing that occurred to me as the two of you were speaking in terms of talking about what are the boundaries, I think even those of us who claim that we do not have boundaries, we do have boundaries.
Yes.
So those boundaries might be, for example, fundamentalist religion.
Attitudes that people may have.
You know. And so I think even when we claim to have no boundaries, that we do have boundaries, and there are certain things that bind us together as a society or as a culture or as a subculture.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is to recognize those things and also to recognize our differences. And then the larger question, how then do we manage to live together with our differences without, wanting to limit someone else's ability to express herself. I don't know.
Join us in the conversation, 503-231-8187. You're listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil and myself, Celeste, and we're talking about rule breaking, boundary breaking, how weird is too weird here in our great weird Portland. Next up, good morning, Greg.
Oh, good morning. How y'all doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, thanks.
Good. So what's on your mind?
So I lived in Austin, Texas in the late 90s.
Okay. The original Keep It Weird.
That's right. And so I think maybe some people might not know that I believe that the phrase was started by a local independent bookstore.
Right.
Kind of to put the word out to say, hey, you know, think outside the big box stores and consider, you know, keeping your money local and supporting not only us but other, you know, these weird independent stores. And
yes.
I think that the community loved the phrase so much because it embraced so much more than just independent local businesses and folks that didn't necessarily feel safe or welcome in their other communities in Texas, maybe in the LGBTQ community or in multiracial families or people who didn't subscribe to the dual party system or any other, you know, alternative thoughts or lifestyles, even active transportation choices.
Mm. Like riding on a bicycle, more specifically.
Or taking transit.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Or walking.
And so if they didn't feel safe or welcome in other communities in Texas, then they flocked to Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was going on regardless of this phrase. But I think that Portland being very similar to Austin, embracing the differences in people in large part, you know, there's exceptions everywhere, of course. But I think that it's a good representation of Portland. And I know that a previous caller had talked about, you know, facial piercings or tattoos. And I think that it's not a huge jump from men choosing to wear long hair in the 60s to people having facial tattoos or or piercings today, you know, is there some shock value to it? Sure. Well, there was then as well. But, you know, for people to say, oh, I feel uncomfortable, they shouldn't be allowed to express themselves in this way. It's not much different than men wearing long hair. I did ride in the World Naked Bike Ride the other night. And a few times in the last 8 years in Portland have I been around so many happy, smiling people in such a celebratory and welcoming and fun event. It's not a bunch of 19-year-olds. It's a lot of seniors. It's a lot of people with children. It's a lot of neighbors in that particular neighborhood and other surrounding neighborhoods being outside and turning their cell phones off together and turning their computers and TVs off together and riding around celebrating life and enjoying themselves. And it is really, really fun. And it's only one small part of a much larger event called Pedalpalooza that's going on right now. Mm. It's only one of 300 different events, most of which are family friendly, most of which are not adult specific, taking place in Portland right now.
Hey,
and I think that it's weird, and I think that it's wonderful, and I think that it's really Portland.
Thank you so much for what you had to share and for those perspectives. It's been very helpful.
Do you have any questions about being on this ride?
Well,
not really. I mean, for me personally, I don't feel like that much fresh air, but I have no problem with it. I guess because I used to be a nurse and, you know, there's certain boundaries that are pretty permeable. Some of them are permeable for me.
So for me, I guess a question I had, and you answered it as a way with a very community building event. So, I would imagine that those who participated, you know, each person had their own viewpoint about why. I was wondering whether or not there was a sense that this was making a statement, a particular statement, maybe about the environment, or was it just an opportunity for people to experience community?
Sure. I saw signs, I saw banners on people's bikes and on their person. People had environmental messages talking about getting off of oil dependency and moving around on their bicycles. People had messages about accepting people's bodies for what they are and not judging folks to have some ideal that's unattainable for everyone.
Right.
I saw signs for people to for lots of different things. But what stood out for me was feeling like I do at Sunday Parkways rides, or like I do at events where people, you know, transform their neighborhood by painting street murals together, building a public park together. It felt like, you know, it felt like there was a hope or promise to make good and to make change and to do it together and to not ask permission to make a better world. It felt like people coming out to say, hey, you know, we want to have fun, we want to be safe. The police support this, the city supports this, and we just want to be able to ride our bikes and not get hit by people. We want people to open their eyes and to look up and to put their phones down and to slow down and to see us. So we're going to make us as vulnerable. We're going to make ourselves as vulnerable as possible. We're going to ride naked to show that we should be able to get around to the grocery store or to school or to work and not have fear that people are going to say, oh, well, I didn't see that person. You know, like I accidentally hit them and hurt them and killed them or whatever else.
Right. And that was one of the original reasons, along with other environmental ideas. That was one of the original reasons behind the Naked Bike Ride. So, you know, like I said, I'm not too keen. I just don't feel like being that kind of vulnerable on a bicycle. I'll be real honest.
You shouldn't have to.
Right.
And this is really an optional thing. And it's really not for everyone.
We support it because it's a community builder. And it's one of those things where all things accepted, as you mentioned before, people get a chance to just be people and have fun together.
Yeah, and you know, I really love hearing people's stories when they talk about the first time that they go on this event. And they're like, I had no idea that there were going to be so many people. When the first riders took off, hundreds at a time, it took over an hour for the middle of the pack to be able to leave the park because there were so many people. and laughing so hard the next day.
And my dear friend Judy, as she sat there waiting for the people go by, and was in somewhat of a traumatic state, but it's all good.
You know, there's thousands of people on their front yards, like waving and, giving high fives and cheering, and it's really wonderful. But in the last 7 or 8 years of riding this ride, I've also been on many other pedal-pulls events. I've been on African American tours of Portland.
We got some folks behind you, so we have to say thank you. You know, but thank you for showing the fun side of community weirdness.
All right, have a great day.
You too. And you know, one of the things that we want to emphasize, we're not talking about labeling necessarily anyone as deviant, for example. We're not going there, but we're looking at how we push boundaries to tipping points, and maybe how we, as individuals or culture, address and adjust for that. Many people believe that some measure of rule breaking is healthy. It helps a culture or a society explore its identity and determine what works for it and what doesn't work for it. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask our listeners, those who will call in, what are those things that push your boundaries?
Yes.
I mean, it seems as if the last caller in explaining it was sharing a somewhat libertarian point of view, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, the individual is important, and that we all should be able to do what we want to do. Even if that's the case, I think all of us have certain things that we just won't accept, or we won't go there. So what are, you know, even if we feel that it's great to ride your bike
naked,
what are your boundaries, and how do you wrestle with those who disagree? 503-231-8187, and let's go to Francis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Portland is schizophrenic to me. Portland is very schizophrenic, and I guess that might be considered weird. I'm not sure what they mean by weird. I mean, naked bodies don't offend me. They never will. They never have.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughters and my children have tattoos. Oh, once I got over the fact that my children were marking their bodies for life, they're beautiful. Tattoos are gorgeous. I have no problem with that. When you ask what bothers me, I think it's the sense of privilege that these people have, that it's okay for them to do this,
mm-hmm.
when it may not be okay for other people to do the same thing. And this whole challenge that's involved in saying that I'm weird. What is weird? What do you mean by weird? I don't understand that, because in a city where a young man can be blown away, mm-hmm. because he's driving down the street wearing a hoodie, I don't get it. Why there wasn't that many thousands of people in the street when that happened, but it's okay for y'all to ride around naked all day and offend a lot of people's senses, because that's the way they are. You know, it wouldn't offend me, but it could offend a whole lot of other people. Apparently, it offended your friend. So my pet peeve would be the sense of privilege, mm-hmm. that a lot of people have in this city,
mm-hmm.
but they don't recognize how other people's basic rights are being offended every day. Does that make any sense?
Oh, it does.
Yes,
I appreciate
does.
You for raising
yeah.
those
so
points.
That's why it's annoying to me,
mm-hmm.
is what it
mm-hmm.
is. It's like, okay, you're all that, fine, but what about people who are just trying to live? You know, where are you now? Where are you when that happens to them? Where are you? Where are you who are so proud of being weird when a beautiful young man gets blown away for no reason? Where were you then, privileged people?
Thank you, Francis.
Well, now I'm getting upset, so I will talk to you later.
Oh, okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Peace and love.
All right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate Frances, because she expressed in a better way some of my thoughts in terms of the sense of the community as being, and you can fill in the blank, liberal, progressive, weird, whatever. But what Frances pointed out, I think underlying this, is issues in terms of real issues such as privilege, as we mentioned, class and race, and I think under the idea that we are weird, progressive, fill in the blank, there is a certain thing about our community that is not safe for many people, that there are continued problems and issues that many communities continue to face, and weird often translate to many as privilege. 503-231-8187.
You know, one of the things that I'm hearing, and I have to, you and I are kind of on the same vibe with this, is weird being a transference? Is weird being myopic and a myopic or nearsighted or self-centered response to all of this? Or is it just that people are not able to translate that need to express to something that has a lot more significance? I can easily get outraged over the fact that a human being doesn't have enough to eat. It's hard for me to get outraged that somebody couldn't get a job because they had tattoos on their face that were button pushers, you know, that were boundary pushers. It's not that one person is less than the other, but it's the scope. And is that sometimes why people find it difficult to accept the weird? Because it seems self-indulgent.
So let's go to the next couple of callers.
Garrett. Good morning, Garrett.
Hi. This topic really hits home for me. As an Aspie, I was born weird.
Hello. I'm an Aspie too.
Okay. So you probably heard the same thing that I have, which is people have often told me when they start to find that I'm not quite like them and I don't think the way that they think, that I've heard the exact words, you know, it's okay for you to be what you are, just not here.
Oh my goodness, not just that, but you're so strange. I've heard that all my life.
So when I see people with tattoos and piercings on their face, I look at them as a canary in the coal mine. They are the ones who push the boundaries, which allow it okay and acceptable in society for me to be what I am. And right now I work in a workplace where about 60% of the people there, and please don't take this the wrong way, 60% of the people I work with are black. And I'm more comfortable there than any other place that I've worked, because when I work with conservative white people, they expect me to be like them because I present myself in that manner. But I present myself in that manner because I've learned that people who are weird have a tendency to end up homeless. Especially when they're born that way. And I knew that I was different when I was a little kid, and my dad realized that I was different, so he took me around and showed me that people with disabilities end up homeless. I got to see all the homeless people, and I saw tics and facial, you know, twitches that reminded me a little of myself, and I'm like, oh my God.
That's kind of a frightening way. Yeah, that's a frightening image for a young person, you know, because I'm guessing that you are at least 30 years old. Am I right?
32.
Okay. You know, we've learned a lot more about Asperger's than we knew before. And me growing up, we were just labeled weird. It's helpful that, yeah, you know, that you might be bright, but you're still weird. So I totally feel you. I totally get you.
I don't see a lot of Aspies are just not disabled. We're different.
Just different.
And so I see a difference between having a disability and being of the race hominis aspius.
Yes, yes, indeed. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I think it's really important sometimes for us to sit up and have these kind of conversations, because you're right. In a way, some people are the canaries in the coal mine. Maybe theirs is a deliberate choice.
I hope so.
But they help stretch boundaries. And I'm looking at this as a positive sense. They help stretch boundaries so that it helps those of us who didn't make this choice, you know?
There was a day a long time ago when, in the more tribal days, when people had piercings and tattoos, and that was just a part of their culture. And one particular culture just happened to tell everyone else that it wasn't okay. So these boundaries push back. They
yes.
need to be pushed.
Because
yes. if we don't push them, they will push back on us, and then suddenly it won't be okay to be different, even if you're born that way.
Now, I have a question here for you, though, Gary, just
yeah.
to kind of flip the script a little bit. Do
okay.
you yourself have a tipping point? When is something a little too weird for you?
Oh, my God. When it gets obnoxious to the point where someone's right up in your face, up in your business, and... For me, as also a landlord, the tipping point is when people start taking my stuff and, like, using my toothbrush and using my razor, when they just can't help but get their hands in everything. So, for me, the tipping point is, like, meth addicts who just steal everything that's not nailed down. That's a kind of different I can't deal with.
Okay, so I'll say an addiction, for example, or somebody who might have no boundaries trespasses your boundaries.
Yeah, when
okay.
their boundaries start stealing from me, but other than that, I'm pretty open.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and have a wonderful day, fellow Aspie.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Before we go to our next caller, and thank you so much, Garrett, for sharing, let me remind that coming up at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour, and among the topics they will discuss is the Bo Bergdahl and related issues, on commentary on why capitalism has run its course, the ongoing struggle of prisoners at Pelican Bay State Prison in California, and Karen Gibson on gentrification. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, Locus Focus, Christina Eisenberg talks about her new book, The Carnivore Way, Coexisting with and Conserving North America's Predators, talking about boundaries. At 11 on Health Watch, Dr. David Naiman speaks with naturopathic physicians Dr. Jillian Sarno-Tata about her new book, Natural Solutions for Digestive Health. 11:30 presents, Cable presents our annual broadcast of Remembering Stonewall, which aired first on the 20th anniversary of the Stonewall riots in 1989. So thank you, all KBOO members, for your generous support for this community radio station. Please consider becoming a member by going to KBOO-FM and clicking on Donate Today. In the meantime, my name is Cecil Prescott.
My name is Celeste Carey, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I look at Keep Portland Weird differently. About 40 years ago, Oregon had a campaign saying, welcome to Oregon, please visit, don't stay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think it's kind of like in that way, because also how people around the country look at Oregon. Why are we kind of weird? Well, the first weird thing is our law for land use planning.
Mm.
And most people don't it's astonished that we have such a law. Next is vote by mail.
Mm-hmm.
And a few things like that we have. We're supposedly more progressive than other states. So that's what we consider ourselves weird. Your thought on that?
Okay. So I appreciate you bringing the perspective in terms of looking at some of the social and cultural markers of Oregon in terms of political and philosophical beliefs. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And let's go to our next caller. David, thank you for calling. What are your boundaries?
Good morning. Interesting show. This is, I came to Portland in 1976, so I consider myself maybe a pre-weirdist. Perhaps. But, you know, it's an interesting topic. I guess ultimately what I was listening prior to the show, and I was very, very intrigued with the dialogue with one of our American leaders who recently has died. It was a professor for 30 years at Wake Forest, I believe. And listening to the speech, or part of the speech, with Michelle Obama in regard to that. And, you know, it's an interesting topic. You referred to the article also with the young man that I guess came from the East Coast looking for utopia in Portland and didn't find it, and was discouraged because he couldn't find work and was now going to take a job in Florida, I believe, or something like this.
Right.
You know, I have more questions, really, than answers on the topic. Mm-hmm. But in regard to tipping point, you know, having traveled around the world, I look at it and I think, I want to be in a culture where I want to judge first based on the character of who you are, mm-hmm. as opposed to what I might look at in another scenario and go, oh, well, you have this earring, or you're short, you're tall, you know, whatever the deal. Because certainly as you get out from what might be your Portland or your American comfort zone, you find that there are beautiful people everywhere, and there are not beautiful people. There are people that are not beautiful everywhere. Mm-hmm. And every one of them has a story.
Yes.
Every one of them has a story, and there may have been fantastic things that happened in family and neighborhoods and communities that helped to develop them. And they may have gone through horrendous personal and, you know, unhumane happenings that affected them.
Yes.
And you don't know people until you really talk to them and get to know what it is that is their ingredients and the factors. But I think that Portland, in terms of the topic, I think there is a too weird. Part of the struggle that I have is that, you know, how much energy and time and focus do you want to spend on yourself?
And we have about 30 seconds. So,
mm-hmm. Is it possible to do better things with your time than to draw attention to yourself? I think so. And furthermore, I think that needs to be addressed. That's part of maturity and social awareness, but I think that there is a point where we need to do more of that in Portland, because we need to address things that are really more humanitarian than my looks and my aesthetics.
You know, you and Francis agree that while there is freedom of self-expression, there should be more concern for community and making sure that all of us have that same freedom.
Well, start with respect. And if a person loses that through their behavior and their philosophies, then perhaps, you know, they haven't earned that yet, or maybe they aren't at a point where they've learned enough. But I think tolerance is and respect and caring are critical factors for the maintaining of a good culture, a safe culture, and a desirable culture, not necessarily tattoos and earrings. Those are minor factors to me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. And I do want to add is, remember that even people who may look as though they reach your tipping point may have transcended beyond that and to look deeper. But also, remember that we need to be aware of the larger things, just as Garrett and Francis have said. And speaking of remembering and thinking of the larger things, remembering a phenomenal woman, Maya Angelou, what happened today. Monday, that's today, June 9th, 2:45 p.m., Roosevelt Library. That's in North Portland, 6941 North Central Avenue. Roosevelt High School is hosting a community-wide celebration of the work of Maya Angelou. Bring a poem or story of her influence to share. This has been More Talk Radio on your community connection, KBOO Portland. 90.7 in the city, 91.9 in the gorge, 104.3 in the South Valley. On the web, www.kboo.
Is proud to co-sponsor and broadcast live from the 2014 Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival. The 27th annual festival will take place July 3rd through the 6th, 2014, at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. It will feature Greg Allman, Los Lobos, Lee Fields, and The Expressions among the 100-plus acts that will perform over the four-day festival. The 27th annual Waterfront Blues Festival will benefit the Oregon Food Bank. More information on artists, tickets, and the KBOO broadcast of the festival can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is the Old Mole Variety Hour. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the 27th Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival, July 3rd through 6th at Waterfront Park, which benefits Oregon Food Bank and features Greg Allman, Boz Skaggs, Los Lobos, Maceo Parker, Bombino, Charlie Musselwhite, Ivan Neville's Dumpsta Funk, and many more. Information, complete schedule, and pass information at waterfrontbluesfestival.com.
Wish I was a mole in the ground. Wish I was a mole in the ground. 'Cause if I was a mole in the ground, I'd tear those mountains down. I wish I was a mole.